You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. For more than 50 years, Funzie has been working in the Boise community, supporting growth of the downtown area one nonprofit at a time. Now, their founding project helped to build the first YMCA in the Treasure Valley. And since then, this group has assisted 48 other nonprofit brick-and-mortar projects, giving almost $8.2 million to organizations like the Boy Scouts, all the way to the Boise Art Museum. Joining me today to talk more about the latest beneficiary is board member Meredith Steed and Carolyn Hawley, the vice president of Funzie. Welcome to the program.
Oh, welcome, Jemmet. Thank you for having us on.
Absolutely. So when I first moved here 20 years ago, and it was a year that there was a gala, and people say, we're talking about Funzie. And I'm like, what's Funzie?
Isn't it a strange, isn't it a funny name?
It is.
There's such a great story behind that. It is Funzie because the very first capital project ever funded by an organization was for the Y. So funds for the Y.
Oh.
F-U-N-D-S-Y. I don't
okay.
All of us do that. We're like,
light bulb moment.
Oh, my goodness. Well, doesn't that make sense?
So it all started in a capital project for the Y. And like you mentioned, we have built all of these brick and mortar projects and seen them go up. And our president, our current president, says you can almost throw a pebble anywhere and hit a project mm-hmm. that Funzie has been behind in this valley.
So when Funzie first started and funding the first YMCA in the Treasure Valley, why a YMCA? Do we have that answer?
Do you have to stump us on that one already?
I do.
No, I believe it was probably these forward-thinking leaders mm-hmm. at the time thought we need to have a really nice Y in this valley, which, you know, is still used by so many families mm-hmm. right now. What I do know, what I can tell you, is that that campaign went so well that they decided, you know what, I think every couple of years we should do another type of campaign like this for brick and mortar. There mm-hmm. were a lot of grants available for nonprofits where mm-hmm. you could get the funds for operating costs, but nothing really for a campaign to build something.
So, Meredith, this is one of the big selling points then with Funzie. It's always brick and mortar.
Yes. Yeah. We focus just on capital campaigns. So it's they've put a lot. I mean, there's nonprofits like the Zoo, the WCA, Camp Rainbow Gold, where they've helped mm-hmm. Build their actual facilities, which even today, really, there are few local funding groups that offer that kind of mm-hmm. opportunity.
You know, I wasn't aware that it was strictly brick and mortar.
I know, and it makes the selection process so much more important because mm-hmm. we're looking at the future. Again, we have this really young board, and I'd love to talk about that, too, if we want to get around to it, because it's kind of neat that we are enjoying everything that Funzie has built by these great leaders that we've had in this valley, and now there's this new leadership mm-hmm. coming up. So I'll get to that. But in the meantime, it was tough to select the beneficiary this year. And the criteria for it is we need to know where this money is going to go.
Okay, well, so talk about that part.
Okay,
Meredith.
It's so that is one part that I definitely underestimated how difficult it would be. And I think it's really personal for each board member, kind of what they're looking for. We don't really have a written criteria on exactly what our guidelines are, other than we want to have a significant impact on a project. The funds will be raised by end of May 2020. Mm-hmm. And so we want it to be used in a timely manner. But other than that, it's really up to the board member what they're looking for. And so we do several rounds of voting once the application process has ended. And for me personally, I was looking, I think, for an organization that would where the project would have the most significant impact on their programming. So that they could then, you know, extend their reach of recipients that they're offering programs to or something like that, something where it would really make a mm-hmm. huge difference in the amount of people they could serve.
So tell me who the latest beneficiary
Drum
is.
Roll.
Drum roll. Who is
Actually,
it?
We have released it, but you can talk about it, Meredith.
Oh, yeah. We are so, so thrilled to have recently just announced that our 2020 beneficiary is the Peregrine Fund's World Center for Birds of Prey. And we're going to be helping them build an education center sort of like a welcome center where they can highlight some of the goods from communities that they serve. I mean, they have projects, they've had projects in over 84 countries, and including the United States, of course, but their global headquarters are here in Boise, and that's a really significant opportunity for our community, and they should have the education center that it deserves.
Well, and so many kids go to the World Center Birds of Prey. I think almost every fourth grader, at least in the Treasure Valley, goes as part of fourth grade Idaho State history.
Well, they try to go. That's one reason we want to expand out there is because they are having to turn these field trips away. These teachers, if they don't request it by like October, then so you know that all of those are free, free visits for all of the children. So this will help with that again by building a bigger center for them to house the birds. Yeah, that, you know, our children are learning conservation there. They're learning a lot of STEM type of lessons there. And all you have to do is go all the way down
Cole Road,
and you will find it. And people are like, you're kidding. I never knew it was out here.
Well, and people don't understand, I think, as you said, Meredith, that it is the world headquarters. Mm-hmm. And the work that they do out there, especially with, I think, with conservation of animals, is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. One of the things that we just, as a board, we went on Wednesday to kind of refamiliarize ourselves with what's out there. And they say that the original story of the Peregrine Fund is a lesson that if people care enough, come together and work hard enough, we can actually save species. And I think that's something that resonates with Fundsy, because we have no staff. It's just a board of volunteers. And we are all doing the same of coming together and trying to have an impact on our community.
So talk to me about the board, Carolyn, because over the years, it really, it shifts, it changes. But how does it, how different is it when you have the, you know, up and coming people in their careers, younger people who are looking at the Treasure Valley maybe a bit differently than, let's say, folks that have been around for 20, 30 years?
Well, I think we want to thank all of those past board members, CEOs, many of them. Well, the CEO of today doesn't have time to sit on a board.
Right.
I mean, even though they are great supporters of Fundsy, that was one thing we started to notice, that there was a change. So there's such a vibrant, younger group of business leaders in this town who really, really care about where they live, is that we've decided that this is kind of the year of re-engagement with Fundsy. And so if anyone out there is an alumni of Fundsy, if you've served on the board, we'd love to hear from you as well, because we really honor what you've done, but we're not necessarily the ones that have the window like you had into what needs to be built in this city, although we think we do. So we'd love to hear from you. In fact, anybody can get a hold of us through Fundsy.org. And here's what I'm like, the old lady on there, because I've been to a lot of these gala. You know what I mean? But you know, the Gary Michaels that have served, the Doug Oppenheimers, the Anne Marie Hayes. I mean, everybody that served along there. We want to hear from them again, because we're reaping the benefits of what you've done, and there are lessons that you could teach us as a board as we go forward and make sure that Fundsy lives for another 50 years or more.
And why the every 2 years? Because you pick a beneficiary and then raise funds over 2 years versus doing 1 year?
I would say, you know, we want to make sure that we're choosing the right organization. Mm-hmm. So that is not a rushed process. That took us a few months to collect applications, review them. We heard presentations from the top five. We were so blessed this year to be able to gift each of those top five, well, the four that weren't selected, $1,000 gift for their time in coming to speak to us and let us learn about their organization. And then we do, so this spring in May, we'll do a golf tournament and a party the night before, kind of a derby-themed party the night before, which kicks off the fundraising and provides some operating expense for, of course, the big Fundsy Gala, which will be May 2nd, 2020. But so that way, you know, we will have just finished in May, we finish up, then we start the process to search again, and the cycle continues. So it's really a heavy year of fundraising and another year in between for kind of the admin side of things. Yeah.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking about Fundsy. I had no idea what the name meant. And now, after 20 years of living here, I know.
And I said to the board, Gemma, we are going to get her to our next gala, because you will love it. Anyway, it's not till 2020.
I'll get it on my calendar. It's got some time. We'll get booked on that. My guest today, Carolyn Hawley, Vice President of Funzie, and Meredith Steed, a board member with Funzie.